Being a good parent isn't just about having a set of skills or knowing the right thing to do all the time. Ask any good parent you know. They can tell you their pro tips, but most are happy to admit that a lot of parenting feels like winging it. Who we are and how we continue to grow matters because our kids pick up most of what they learn from us by watching how we do things, not by listening to our instructions. So join me on this journey of remodeling our mindsets so that our actions speak to those watching. I'm Dr. Dina Shelton, and this is Remodel Parenting. Welcome back, everyone, to Remodel Parenting. We are continuing in our series on Google and family management, where I found some great research that Google has been doing for years on characteristics of their best managers and how those people function across their teams. And I was inspired when I was reading the research about how many of the same elements, and really how all of the same elements, could connect to our roles as parents and how the same concepts of leading teams really can translate into leading our children and our families in really effective ways. And so I've created this series to really unpack the 10 elements that they've discovered over years of research that their best managers have, and they turn it into curriculum to train their new managers and train managers as they are supporting them through their process. And so in each episode, I'm covering two of the elements that they found and giving it an overall title. And so I've nested the two that I'm covering today under the fact that really good managers handle business. And those two elements that Google found is that great managers are productive and results oriented. So they make things happen and they look for the results from their work and really anchor things on the results. And the second piece is that they have key technical skills to help them advise their teams. So they have a lot of knowledge base and a lot of experience that they bring to the table where they can guide their team members in specific situations that are going on and help give them the types of skills that they need to take over and manage and make their own choices without having to manage it for them. We really get a lot of these concepts in terms of management, in terms of work. That's not usually a big stretch for us. We get that managers have to be productive and results oriented, but as parents, it's really good for us to take note on that as well. And what does it mean as a parent to be productive and results oriented? Well, you know, when you're managing humans and not tasks, that's a really big difference in what it means to be productive and results oriented. If we're, you know, finishing projects at work or we're producing certain types of items, then what productivity looks like and what results orientation looks like gets very concrete. With humans, it's a lot more abstract in terms of what are we going for here and what are we trying to produce here in the humans that we're raising and guiding through life. But one of the biggest things about parents is that productivity and results orientation is really being clear on what outcomes we want. A lot of times we can get sucked into the idea that we really just want things to not feel hard and to not feel difficult and for us not to be inconvenienced. And so we may only respond to issues that are going on around us when, you know, it's going wrong or when something infringes on that peace that we're looking to have in our lives. But we really need to be proactive in having this idea of what does it mean for us to be productive as a family and what types of outcomes and results are we looking for to show that we're growing our family or guiding our family in the way that we want it to be. Now, that can get really difficult sometimes because we don't always know exactly what we want to see happen. Most people can tell me a lot more of what they don't want to be have happening than what they actually do want to have happen with their children, their lives, their families. It's, you know, it's funny to say that, and it kind of sounds ironic, but at the same time, you think about even questions like, where do you want to go eat? A lot of people are much more familiar with where they don't want to go right now than any ideas of where they do want to go. Well, when the same's true about our families and the outcomes, then it can get a little bit fuzzy for our kids to even know if they're hitting the mark or what's the most important marks to hit. It's best when we're deciding what our outcomes are and what we're going for that we really align them with our values and that they're values-driven items. We want to look at the big picture of things. We want to be able to see things from a broader perspective and say, what type of person do I want my child to become? What kind of character traits and what types of interactions do I want them to be having with people, and to have that values driven in a way that we want to see them in their character. Now, we may also have some more concrete goals that we'd like to see our kids reach, but a lot of times those can change and shift with our children as well. So things like, making good grades, right? And making good grades sounds like a really good goal to have. And that is an okay goal and an okay desire. But if all we do is say, well, I just want my kids to make good grades, then we may miss some things and some reasons that they would be having difficulty doing that and accomplishing it. And then really even establishing, what is good grades? What does that even mean? Is it all A's? Is it A's and B's? Is it passing grades as long as you're learning? Is it A's in some classes because that's where you excel, and tolerating lower grades in other classes if it's not where they excel? Is it your best effort no matter what the grades are? If we just say that you're making good grades, that can be so arbitrary that kids sometimes don't lock into the concreteness of it and really understand what they're going for and when the cutoff is that they're not doing well anymore, which is pretty important for kids when they're trying to reach a goal or hit a decision that we've given them. We have to consider what actually matters to us. So even just taking that grades example, we can say we want to make good grades or to do well in school, but what actually matters to us in that? I am really big on education. I work in education, and I want my kids to do well in school. It is a very big deal to me, but one of the things I've really had to work out over the course of my time parenting is recognizing that my real goal for my kids is that they learn in a way that they can use the knowledge they're getting and that they really love to learn. And so grades have an impact on that, but good grades is not my primary focus for them. Now, they generally do make pretty good grades, but they also are very well aware that I believe that everything in their classes that they're learning is applicable for good knowledge for later in life, and I want them to be able to talk to me about it. I am less impressed by an A on a test if they can't really explain to me what they learned about plant cells or what they know about that type of topic, that it's not just about the grade. And that when they understand that, it means something more to them too in terms of the value of what the outcome is for them in their lives. We also have to make it a discipline for ourselves. We have to understand what it means for us to be results-oriented so we don't hyper-focus on things that don't align. To be results-oriented means that you know what you're also not tracking and what is not the most important. We've seen a lot of this happen with companies across the last 15 to 20 years shifting drastically in things like they want their employees to be happy and to be balanced and to have a good work-life balance. And so some companies have stopped calculating or tracking time off altogether and have basically said, as long as you are producing, getting your work done, and that you're making arrangements, you can take time off kind of whenever. And though some of those shifts have been highly successful for companies because they say it actually costs more to track all of it than it does to actually just give people the time off. And when they looked at that ROI and said, it's not really that beneficial for us to track that anymore, some things shifted and changed at their companies and it got better. And so when this goes well, when parents are tracking these things, have really clear orientations to what they want to see as outcomes and have communicated this to their kids, one, when it goes well, kids really grow. They know what targets they're hitting. They know what the most important things are. And they also learn how to let things go that aren't as important, which, by the way, is a really good skill to learn in life. People don't just automatically learn how to balance hard work and letting things go. That takes some practice. When this is going well and people are aligned on what the result outcomes are and what the goals for those are, parents are less stressed and discipline processes are less stressed for everyone because we're running the plans instead of just feeling like we're, calling the shots and trying to wing it when something goes wrong and it's not happening how we want to see it happen. Now, when we're not as good at results-oriented parenting or looking at productivity and really tracking that for ourselves from this management seat of parenting, it can go wrong. We fall into the trap of redoing what was done with us without being aware of it. And so when we grow up in families where certain things were important or valuable or emphasized, but we don't really understand why, but it was just how it was, sometimes we can redo that. The grades thing is another good one to go on. A lot of people are raised in families where it's you can and so you should get straight A's and that's the most important thing. And maybe that works for certain families, but you may have been raised that way. It may have worked well for you. And then you have a child that really is just not the dynamic or mentality that works well for them. And you may have to readjust and say, is this really what I want to do? Or am I just running this because that's what my parents expected and that motivated me, so I feel like it should just work? Well, if it's not working, then we need to be able to adjust and make a different call. The second thing that can make it not work well is if we don't really clearly articulate to other people what our expectations are and what the results that we're looking for are. When our kids don't know what they're actually looking for to know how to get it right, they end up becoming pretty dejected really quickly and can stop trying. And so I'm always a big fan, even into teen years, of the redo, of having kids redo what they've done wrong so that they know exactly how to get it right. Having them start over and let you start that conversation over. That response was not okay. So I'm going to give you one more try to get that right and have them do it so that they know what it's supposed to look like. If they're not sure, it can just feel like it doesn't matter what I do. I'm not going to get it right anyway. And then sometimes we can articulate the outcome that we want, but we don't really make clear the goals for it or what makes that work for us, and it can cause undue pressure. So sticking with the grades example, we may tell our kids that we want them to get high grades, you know, in school, that we expect for them to do well in their classes, and we expect A's, you know, unless there's issues. But if we haven't filled in the gaps for what happens if you're struggling and you're not getting A's? How do you get help for that? How do you bridge the gap and work towards that? Or how do you talk to determine whether an A is really possible, plausible, or appropriate for this particular class or this particular study that you're doing? And so just being clear and really working it out so that the communication lines are open helps everyone stay on the same page and all point in the same direction for the same goals. And it gives everybody a sense of peace to know that they can hit what they're going for. And then there's really clear times to celebrate. When people have reached very clearly articulated goals, then there's a clear thing to be celebrated and noticed. Now, the second piece that Google found that we're covering today is that managers have to have technical skills that help them advise their teams. And again, in the work world, this makes complete sense to us because if your boss doesn't have the skills to do your job at all, or doesn't have skills that could be beneficial to you in doing your job, it can feel really pointless to have a manager, right? Kids are learning how to be adults. We don't raise kids. We raise future adults. Kids already are a certain way. They're frustrating sometimes because they're very self-focused and they want things to go their own way. And part of our goal and role as an adult is to help guide them out of that, to become more empathic, more altruistic, more connected to other people, and seeing the world from a different perspective so that they can function well as adults. But when we think about that we're raising future adults, it kind of becomes, so what are the technical skills that parents really kind of need to have to advise their kids for future adulthood? I just kind of was thinking through skills that I talk to people about when I go baseline and say, you know, to be a healthy functioning human, these are things that you have to be able to do. And I always pull from models for these because people way smarter than me have already built models and designs for this that are more brilliant than what I could come up with. And so I lean on them. But there are a few that come to mind immediately. And one of them is Siegel's work. Dan Siegel is a phenomenal neuropsychiatrist and researcher, brain researcher, and has done so much for our profession, understanding the neuroscience behind emotion and behavior and just the way that we engage and interact. And he emphasizes that for humans to be really effective interpersonally and relationally, we have to be able to have insight, or the ability to go inside of ourselves, look around and see what's there and pull it out, give words to it. So one is insight, two is empathy, the ability to connect with and care about someone else's experience and kind of put ourselves in their shoes. Imagine what it would be like to be in their circumstance and to compassionately connect with that. And then the third is integration, which is the ability to balance positive and negative experiences and situations in life and to be able to navigate between those well without getting stuck in one or feel like one overtakes the other. Now, there are other researchers who talk about a wide variety of things that we need to be able to do as adults. Karen Purvis had some great work that started within trauma healing and working with kids who had had trauma backgrounds and being able to rebuild attachment. And some of what she would say often was the ability to express needs, negotiate needs, and then meet the needs of others is the foundation to connect well and for healthy attachment. And so, you know, expressing needs is not something that you either have or don't have. It's something you grow and it's a skill. Negotiating needs. How can I explain to you what I need that would help you meet my needs and also be looking at and looking to help you meet your needs in the same way so we can connect? And there are a myriad of other theories out there, developmental theories, lifespan development, relationship development, all of the stages that we go through in life and relationships with others. And I just started kind of brainstorming and writing down a list of things that sometimes we don't even realize are skill-based. And so I'm just going to throw a few out there so it can get your brain churning on those. How to connect with people. Like make a new friend or deepen a relationship. That's a skill. How to have boundaries and say no often. How to forgive and move forward with reconciliation or freedom from the other person. How to manage your life, including schedules and multiple demanding things. How to identify when we're not doing well and need to change things in our lives. How to be humble and listen to others' feedback. How to make an action plan for change. How to work hard and push for what we want. How to approach endings and change even when things are really hard. How to serve others and be selfless. How to prioritize and discover our own values and what really means something to us. How to find motivation when we don't have it. How to ask for what we need physically and emotionally from other people. How to regulate when life isn't going my way. How to change a bad attitude. How to communicate with others effectively, both in difficult situations and in extremely difficult situations. How to resolve conflict and move forward with a person or a team. How to be creative in problem solving and not get locked down or overwhelmed. How to care for ourselves and make sure that we're in the best place possible to do the work that we're doing. It's not a comprehensive list, but everything that I mentioned there is a skill. And when you think about teaching skills to other people, it's like, what do we need to have to be able to teach these skills? And the truth is that we have to have learned these skills and cultivated them and grown them in ourselves to be able to teach them to our kids. And this can become really hard because some of these skills that I listed are things that I'm really good at, and some of them I'm still working on and probably will be for the rest of my life in some capacity or another. And we have to really get real with ourselves that we can't give what we don't have. So many people are content with just not being good at certain aspects of life. And I hear oftentimes people who are insecure about that, the way that they cope with it and deal with it is that they push it off and they kind of distance from it and might label it as something like personality when really it's skill. Very, very important to note what's personality and what's skill. So people might say, well, I'm just a bad communicator. People don't understand me when I talk, and that's just, you know, it's just hard, and that's just part of who I am. Well, some of that may be true, that you may not be a good communicator, and it may be really difficult because other people frequently don't understand you, but it's not true that it's just the way that you are, and everyone can learn how to do it better if they want to learn and practice it. Same thing for dealing with anger and managing our dysregulation. We get really upset really quickly, and we start to kind of fly off the handle or do things that we're not proud of. we can try to attribute to, oh, well, everybody in my family has a temper and I'm Irish and I'm a redhead and all these other things that, you know, we've said for years and years, even if it's just joking to push things off. But the truth is none of that's real. You don't have ingrained anger issues. It's failed practice at skilling yourself into regulating. But the hope and the great part of that is that we can get better at that at any stage of our lives. Anytime we start learning these things, we get better at them and they work better for us. The most important piece of this is that it's not necessary for us to be perfect at these skills, but for us to be aware of them, of what we are good at, of what we are working on, and to really model for our kids, both embracing where we are doing well and where we have grown already, but also embracing where we're still growing and working and sharing that journey with our kids too, so that we map for them this lifelong process of building these skills for a healthy life. Hope you're enjoying this series and that you'll continue to tune in and listen as we cover the last four skills that Google found that was good for, that was great for good managers and that also apply to us as parents. Thank you so much for listening to Remodel Parenting. If you know someone who could benefit from this episode, I hope you'll share it with them. And if you love what we're doing, like and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you have topics you'd like to hear about, email us at info@theremodelproject.com.